Hey, we welcome you here this morning, Memorial Day, and glad to have you on Facebook, on YouTube, and church online platforms. So if you could say hi and just give a greeting to each other as you enter into those platforms, just say a quick hi. And if you want to interact with each other, that is very good. At different moments, we will share the Connect card and the Giving card. And so you'll see those pinned up on Facebook. In the Church Online platform, it's very easy to see there. We'll post those moments there. So YouTube, if you're watching on TV, it's hard to see some of those chat features. So, but all that is on the website. If you go to RadiantSprings.com, there's a link to the YouTube video. As well as the Connect card and the giving. Amen. Hey, at this time, I'm going to turn it over to Sherry Heath, and she is going to read from Ephesians 6, 10 through 20.
We'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 20. The armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should.
Good morning, everybody. We're so glad that you have come with us to worship this morning. This song is about how we've gathered in this place to worship God, and it's kind of weird because we're not in church, but God is wherever we invite him to be. So I just hope that you open up your home this morning, and we're going to invite him into our hearts and into our lives today. I hope you're clapping.
We want to see you.
God again. Open up the heavens.
Open up the heavens. We want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise.
Show us.
Show us. Show us your glory. Show us. Show us your power. Show.
One more time.
Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord.
Lord, as we are worshiping in you, our home, worshiping you in our homes today, God, I just pray that you would just reveal yourself to us. I pray that in the midst of all the things that are strange and unusual, God, that we would just see you so brightly and so clearly.
Be forever mine.
Morning, church. Hey, thanks, Amy, for leading us in worship and into the presence of God. Good morning. How you guys doing? Thank you guys for joining us this morning. I just want to share with you guys some vision, Radiant Springs Church, what we believe. If this is your first time connecting with us, we're glad you're here. If you're connecting with us once again, we're glad you're here as well. We believe we exist to lead, love, and connect people to a life-changing relationship with Christ, and that's the most important thing. But our value is prayer is foundational, and without prayer, there's no connection, there's no relationship with God. And simply what prayer essentially is us talking with God, but also taking the time to hear from Him. And in Scripture, you'll hear about the armor of God, and just an encouragement. This is something I practice myself, but just an encouragement to you. The Scripture talks about putting on the full armor of God. I want to encourage you that I'm sure most of you know that each of us have an enemy, but when we put on the full armor of God and we stand in God's strength and we come in alignment and speak out His word, there's so much power in that. And so I just want to encourage you in your devotional time, in your prayer time, that you speak out God's word and you put on His armor. Whether you maybe have your kids do the actions of putting on the belt, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, putting on the helmet of salvation, the shoes for readiness and peace, and the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. I just want to encourage you to take up the armor of God and watch God protect you from the evil schemes of the enemy. That's an encouragement in your prayer life. If you already do that, awesome. But I want to encourage you and remind you that prayer is foundational. Without it, we don't have a connection with God. We can't do this by ourselves. It's impossible. So we'll go ahead from there to announcements. And so I just want to, Discovery Clubs is still happening on Wednesday. I'm just going to stop that completely because I just felt like that was off. So following that, we have announcements. And so Discovery Clubs is still meeting Wednesday at 7 p.m. And I want to encourage you, if you know, once again, if you are a family that maybe isn't connected to our church, you can email us at office@radiantsprings.com. Just to give you a brief summary of what that is, I'm the kids pastor, Pastor Andy. And I meet with each of the kids from our church, and we have a little Bible story and a lesson where we learn about God's character. And it's just been a powerful time just to stay connected, even though we can't meet yet necessarily. And we probably won't be able to, we're still not going to be able to meet on Sundays. And so Wednesday is just a good opportunity for your kids, if you have a church, if you don't have a church, to meet on Wednesdays for Discovery Clubs. And so I want to encourage you to continue to come. It's been an awesome time and a powerful time just for the kids just to have an opportunity to hear from God and grow in their relationship. Next is camps. Camps are still happening. We're still planning to have those. And so if you follow on the screen, July 3rd is the Youth Merge Camp. Mega Sports Camp is happening July 6th through the 10th. Another Youth Merge Camp is happening July 13th through the 17th. And then Kids Camp, finally, July 20th through the 24th. And I want to encourage you, if you don't know where to maybe register or sign up at, you can go online and register at NEAG, the website. And the early registration dates are on the slides. I want to encourage you to get signed up as soon as you can. It's cheaper that way, and the cost is $150 still. And so, without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Brent, and he'll share with you a few more announcements. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Andy, for getting us caught up on a few of those announcements with Discovery Clubs and camps. We do have the Convoy of Hope Day coming up on August 8th. Please make that a matter of prayer, as we have to make a decision on that next week. We'll be meeting with some of the leadership of Convoy of Hope and the ministers and some other leadership in our town, and just assessing where things are at and if we can pull that off. So please make that a matter of prayer. We do feel that this would be a huge blessing and fulfill a huge need in our community. So pray that all the things that need to happen can fall into place for that, all right? Also, the Connect card, again, we'll be posting that at different times and different moments there. So just be aware of that. You can find it on the website at the About tab. You can find it there. And fill that out. And that's just so that we can, you can put prayer requests there. You can also just share what God did in your heart during the message, all right? So that is the Connect card. Offering, you guys, we've been doing well in May. We started off a little slow last week. You guys kind of, things kind of picked up a little bit. So if you can help us finish this month strong, that would be awesome. And at some point, we're going to be able to meet and things will come back together here. So we're just going to need to be able to hit that strong. There's some things that are going to be some startup costs there again. And so if you can just help us out in that, your faithfulness has been awesome. And so we appreciate that. So that leads right into Relaunch Sunday. And so we are looking at next week, May 31st. If at all possible, we're going to try and make that an outdoor service, possibly at the back of the church there where it's kind of wooded. We might have to put up with the train a little bit. And if you watched last week, you heard me go, pause it, pause it, pause it. The train kind of gave us some issues last week. So if you see somebody going, pause it, pause it, pause it, you're going to have to listen to the message. That's all I'll say. All right. So that's what we're looking at. So if it is outside, there will be no children's church, no nursery. If you want to bring your own coffee, bring your own coffee. We won't be serving any. That'll probably be protocol probably for a few weeks, even if we're meeting in our building. All right. Masks, you know, those are optional. It protects probably others that are around you if you would be happening to carry the virus. That's where it seems like it's most effective. So, and we'll have hand sanitizer and stuff. But if we do the outside service to begin with, it eliminates a lot of those things. And being outside just eliminates a lot of risk of transferring anything. So pray for good weather. And we'll try to make that first one an outside service. And we're just going to have to take every week by week. So far, the numbers in Crete have kind of stabilized and kind of started to go downhill. And so we're hoping that that trend continues. Amen. All right. Hey, before we go to our message, I was able to catch up with a few of our veterans in the church. Not all of them. We got several of them, but I was able to catch up with a few of them. And I asked them just to share their stories of their time in the military and maybe some lessons or things that they learned that have helped them out in life. So let's catch their story at this time.
Good morning. My name is Chuck Langston. I came here in 1969 after about 7.5 years in the Air Force. I was stationed in Biloxi, Mississippi for a year, going to tech school, electronics tech school. Then they sent me to Panama City, Florida, Tyndall Air Force Base for 4 years. It was so great, I re-enlisted there. And after a year after I re-enlisted, they said, okay, you've had it too good, too long. They sent me to Vietnam. I was in Vietnam June of 67 to June of 68. The first 6 months were nothing. It was just like any other base. And then the first Tet Offensive hit, we were overrun. They made me Sergeant of the Guards. They gave me this Jeep with an M60 machine gun mounted on the passenger side. And I told the guy that appointed me that squirrels were the only thing I'd ever shot at in my life other than targets. And he said, well, that's gonna change. So we had some interesting times during that period. I would have to say the discipline of tech school was changed my life. It was you went to school for 6 hours, you were in study hall for an hour and a half to 2 hours each night, and it was completely surrounded by discipline. And but once I got to Tyndall and Vietnam, discipline was almost not there. I think the roughest time, and you don't realize this when you're in the middle of it, my brother was over there. He's 3 years younger than me, and he was in the Marine Corps. I was in the Air Force, and we were both in Vietnam at the same time. And my dad told me that she just about didn't make it, that she just about had a nervous breakdown. They finally got her in school. She became a registered nurse then, and that pulled her through. But until you're a parent, you don't realize what that is. I was Catholic at that time. We had Mass every Sunday, and when I was at Tyndall, I was involved in the church. But when I came to Nebraska, I met my wife Leah, and we decided that I had 8 years in the Air Force. I was a crew member on Looking Glass, and we decided that the Air Force wasn't the way to raise a family. After we got serious about our relationship, we decided that I would get out. I went to work for the Omaha Public Power District, but at that time we were very involved in St. Francis Borgia Parish in Blair. That's where we lived at the time. I was the head of the men's group. It was an interesting time because Catholics are different from we evangelicals. I remember being the head of the men's group. The men's group sponsored a steak fry every year in the basement of the parish church, and we had an open bar there, and after the ladies cleaned up and went home, we played poker in the basement of the church, and that never did set well with me. As time went on, my wife worked at one of the concerts in Omaha for a Christian singer, and one of the people working the table with her invited us to Eagle's Nest Worship Center, and we became evangelicals at that time, and it was a wonderful change in life. And the discipline is completely different now. It's something you want to do rather than being regulated to do. So yes, the Air Force had a great influence on my life, but that night when my wife was introduced to a couple that invited us to an evangelical church, I think that changed my life and made me more disciplined than anything ever has. I appreciate the people that were very involved in combat. I didn't go through much of that. Just a month or so of the first Tet Offensive was the only thing that we had, where we were mortared all the time, and just, it was pretty rough. But those guys, now we need to be in prayer for them, because they face some things that we just can't imagine, being on high alert for a year at a time, and it's something that I didn't experience, and I am very thankful for those people, but we need to be in prayer for them. So thank you for this opportunity to share with you, and God bless each and every one of you.
Hi, I'm Diane. You're Rex.
I'm Rex. And we were both in the military. We were both in the Navy. That's where we met, actually.
Yep.
And tell them what you did.
I was in from 1986 to 2006, 18 years, during Desert Storm and Operation, what was it, Operation Endurance or something like that? Anyway. There was a lot of exercises during that time, the war rooms, and I was in 2003 when they started the Afghanistan, the war in Afghanistan. So it was an interesting time.
And I went active in October of 1966. I finished college first and then went active, and I was in during the Vietnam War. I did not go to Vietnam, but I went immediately to the Philippines, and then I was with an anti-submarine patrol squadron. We flew P-3 Orion turboprop, 4-inch turboprop planes, and we would drop sonobuoys at different locations in the ocean to pick up submarine activity. So I spent a lot of time after we came back from the Philippines in Iceland because of the Russian activity in the North Sea, and all along the east coast down to Puerto Rico and the Azores and Newfoundland, and then after our active duty, we both stayed in the reserves, and actually we went to London, worked at the American Embassy together, and that's where we met, was in the service. And then went to Korea a couple times, and so we were kind of on the go a lot.
I would highly recommend any young man or woman who's interested in learning a lot of education. The military has a lot of good benefits, educational benefits, health care. There's just a lot of benefits for a youngster. And lessons I learned, I made my bed every morning. I still do. It does, you kind of, things like that stick with you. A lot of discipline, and yeah, I think everyone should go through something like that. Kind of stays with you.
Well, I grew up in a 110 population small town, so I didn't know there was anything out there further than 50 miles away from my parents' house. But it introduced me, because of all the countries we were in, it introduced me to so many new cultures. I got a very great appreciation for other people's lifestyles and cultures. And it teaches you teamwork. It teaches you learning how to get adjust to new people, new circumstances on a week-to-week basis sometimes. And
a lot of camaraderie.
Yeah.
If you're in a unit with the same people and you do different things together, you kind of read each other's mind a little bit, and it does gain you trust in people.
And I've maintained friendships. I found a guy last year that I was served with 50 years ago, and we're on a day-to-day basis now of visiting. My best friend was from New York, and we stayed very much in touch until he passed away a few years ago. Some of the greatest friendships, I think, were formed in the military, because you live so close to each other, and so much of your, your, just what you do in a day-to-day basis is done together. So you're just really in kind of a cocoon with each other, sort of. So, but it's a tremendous experience. I would never discourage anybody from going in.
Hey, weren't those stories awesome? Just some great history there. And sometimes we see people and we just don't know the story behind their lives. And so I appreciate them taking some time to do that and to share their story with us. I've entitled the message this morning, Mighty Warrior. It comes from 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 8 through 23. And so since it is Memorial Day weekend, this kind of touches in on just maybe a couple different themes. One, just honoring those that have served, those that have given their life, those that are in active duty, and those that are veterans among us. But it also, there's a spiritual truth here as well that I'd like to pull out, just as we're in a battle every day for our heart and our soul and for the lives of others. And Scripture, Paul makes that comparison in the passage that Sherry read from Ephesians. Paul's in prison. He's surrounded by military people, and as he sees that, he goes, man, there's some illustrations here. There's some things that we can put into practice in our own life. We need to put the armor of God on, right? We need to be like a soldier. We face battles every day for our soul and the lives of others. And therefore, if we're going to win, if we're going to overcome, we have to put on the full armor of God, amen? So we're all called to be a warrior in God's army, amen? And so that's what I want us to look at today. You know, David was a young shepherd boy. He was the youngest of his clan. And Samuel came to his house to anoint a new king to replace Saul. And all the older boys, the brothers, the sons were, you know, they were good looking. They were stronger, more mature. And yet God's spirit was not telling Samuel, nope, this is not the one, that's not the one. And Samuel says, is there any others? Well, there was David. He was out in the field taking care of the sheep. And then, so they ran and grabbed him, brought him in. And that was God's choice. It wasn't necessarily man's choice. It was God's choice. And so David would, God's favor and spirit would be upon his life from that moment. And one day he's taking food to his brothers on the front line. And they're opposite of them. They're the Philistines. And their great warrior, Goliath, right? And he begins to taunt the Israelite army, but also their God. And David is kind of like, isn't anybody going to do anything? Nobody's going to do anything. Nobody stands up. Nobody's going to go fight this guy. And he's taunting them. And finally, David says, he goes to King Saul and says, I'll fight that guy. And he tries Saul's armor, but it's too big for him. And so he goes with some stones, his slingshot, and he runs out to take on Goliath, kills Goliath. And that day, his favor, not only with God, is there, but also his favor with King Saul. And he's elevated to a high place, and the people love him, to the place that Saul's favor turned into jealousy and envy. And David would then spend his life on the run for several years in the wilderness, fleeing from King Saul, because King Saul was trying to take his life. But it's during this time that David surrounds himself with some misfits, some social outcasts, and he begins to have his own army. And some of those stay with him, and as well as when he becomes king, he has the Israelites. But there's some great men that are listed in this chapter, his mighty men. There's 30 of them, and then plus a couple others that are stand out as well. And so this is where they are listed. We're going to read about some of these great mighty men in verses 8 through 23. I'm not going to read to the end of the chapter because there's too many tough names there. You can read that. It's just a list of names, but it's the 30 that are listed there of his mighty men. Kind of like when we honor others that have fought for our country. These were David's mighty men. So as we look at this passage, just bow our head in prayer, and then let's read together. Father, we just thank you for your word, dear God. I pray that you would take your word and apply it to our heart and our life. We thank you for your word that is able to instruct us and guide us and help us to know you better and to fight the good fight. We give you the thanks and the praise. In your name we ask. Amen. Amen. So let's read this together out of 2 Samuel, starting in verse 8 of chapter 23. It says, these are the names of David's mighty warriors. We got Josheb there. He was the chief of the three. He raised his spear against 800 men whom he killed in one encounter. Can you imagine that? 800 men that he killed in one encounter with his spear. Next to him was Eleazar, the son of Dobai, the Ahohite. All right. And as one of the three mighty warriors, he was with David when they taunted the Philistines gathered at Pas Damon for the battle. When the Israelites retreated, Eleazar stood his ground, struck down the Philistines until his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. Can you get that picture? It just freezes to the sword. It's so tired, and it just locked up around there. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. The troops returned to Eleazar, but only to strip the dead. Isn't that incredible? Verse 11, next to him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. When the Philistines banded together at the place, there was a field full of lentils, of a bean field. Israelites' troops fled from them, but Shammah took his stand in the middle of the field. He defended it, struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought a great victory. During the harvest time, three of the 30 chief warriors came down to David at the cave of Adullam, where a band of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. At that time, David was in the stronghold, and the Philistine garrison was at Bethlehem. David longed for water and says, oh, that someone would get me a drink from the well near the gate of Bethlehem. So the three mighty warriors broke through the Philistine lines, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and carried it back to David. But he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord. Far be it from me to do this, he said. Not of the blood of men who would, at the risk of their own lives, David would not drink it. Such were the exploits of the three mighty warriors. Abishai, the brother of Joab, son of Zariah was chief of the three. He raised his spear against 300 men whom he killed, and so he became as famous as the three. Was he not held in greater honor than the three? He became their commander, and even though he was not included among them. And then we got Benaniah, verse 20, the son of Jehoiada, a valiant fighter from Kabzeel, and he performed great exploits. He struck down Moab's two mightiest warriors. He also went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. And he struck down a huge Egyptian. Although the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, Benaniah went against him with a club, snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand, and killed him with his own spear. Such were the exploits of Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada. He was also famous as the three mighty warriors. He was held in greater honor than any of the 30, but he was not included among the three. But David put him in charge of as his bodyguard. Wow, some great stories there, huh? Of just these mighty men. I just want to list some things that mighty warriors are. So if you have a copy of the bulletin, the points are in there, or if you just want to write them on in someplace, a blank sheet of paper, put in your Bible, wherever you keep your notes. It helps to remember when you write things down, all right? So first of all, we see that mighty warriors stand firm in the face of fear. You notice that in a lot of these stories, they stood firm in the face of fear. They held their ground. And so Eliezer is the first one mentioned in verses 9 through 10. The Philistines came against them, but he stood his ground, right? And he struck down the Philistines till his hand froze to the sword. The army of Israel returned, but only to strip the dead. What made that a great victory that day is that Eliezer stood his ground. He held his ground in the face of fear. Was he afraid? I'm sure he was. But he stood his ground, and he won the victory that day because he stood firm in the face of fear. Verses 11 and 12, we see Shamna. They're fighting in this bean field, right? And everybody else flees, but Shamna stands his ground in the middle of the field, fights him off, defended that ground. And again, a great victory is won that day because he stands his ground in the face of fear. You know, I find it interesting in Ephesians chapter 6 that we read earlier, Paul says in verses 13 and 14, having done everything to do, stand. And then he begins the next verse, stand firm, therefore. That idea of standing firm in the face of fear, when Satan comes at us or when the things of life come at us, fear can grip our heart. But Scripture calls us to stand firm in the face of fear. That's what mighty warriors do. They stand firm in the face of fear. Secondly, they fight for what is right. They fight for what is right. Eliezer in verse 9, the Philistines are taunting them. You know, and I think of David and the Philistines when Goliath is taunting them. What bothered David the most is that Goliath was not only taunting them, but he was taunting their God. And he says, I'm not going to have anything. That bothers me so much that I'm going to go out and fight that guy. Even though he's much bigger than I am, much more experienced than him, I'm going to go out and fight him in the power of the Lord. And God gave him a great victory. Eliezer the same way. I'm not going to handle this taunting. I'm going to stand up for what is right and do what God has called me to do. Shamna the same way. I'm going to protect this field. I don't know if it was his field or not. Maybe he had some ownership of it, but that field represented their livelihood, and that the Philistines wanted to come in and destroy their crops, their livelihood, their way of life. And Shamna says, you're not going to have anything to do with that. We're going to stand firm even in the face of fear, and we're going to fight for what is right. You know, as believers in Christ, we are called to fight for what is right. Whether it's for our nation, whether it's over our families, whether it's in our communities, we are to fight for what is right. We fight on our knees, we fight, and we come before God, and we beseech Him and unleash the power of heaven. Amen? We fight battles, and we fight them in the name of the Lord. Third, we see that mighty warriors put others first. You notice there's a lot of sacrifice, and that, you know, those that serve in our military, they put their life on the line daily, and maybe those that are veterans, they put their life on the line. to protect our freedom and our liberty. And that still goes on to this day, and those that have given their life. And I think of these mighty men, they all were putting their life on the line to protect something sacred, something that they cherished. And I think about the three mighty men listed in verses 13 through 17 there. They were with David. He longs for this water from the well of Bethlehem, but they're hemmed in by this Philistine army. He goes, man, I wish I had the drink. So these three mighty men, they break through the Philistine line. They go get some water and they bring it back to David. And David is kind of like, oh man, I wish I wouldn't have said that. These men put their life at risk to get me a drink of water. And so he pours it out as an offering unto God. But these men were so loyal and faithful to David, they were willing to risk their life to get David a drink of water. I just think of men and women in our military daily put their life on the line for others, for our freedom and liberty. You know, spiritually, we are called to put others first, aren't we? Scripture calls us to do that over and over again, whether it is wrestling in prayer for them, whether it is being kind or just showing kindness and love and respect to other people. Scripture has called us to put others first. That is what mighty warriors do. That is what God has called us to do in His army. Number four, depend on God's mighty power. You know, as you read these stories, it's kind of like, there's no way. They're taking on hundreds of other soldiers and they're coming out ahead. Just one person is. There had to be some help along the way. I like the story, verses 18 through 19 of Abishai. He raised his spear against 300 men whom he killed, and he became as famous as the three. You just think of that, taking an army of 300 by yourself with a spear and coming out alive. Because of that, he became known as a great warrior. And then you have in verse 20 through 23, you have Benaniah. He struck down Moab's two mightiest warriors. He goes down to a pit on a snowy day and kills a lion. I don't know if he just was bored that day, needed something to do. I'm not sure why that he needed to. Maybe they were needing that cave for protection. I'm not sure. But he goes and takes out that lion. There had to be fear there, but he was willing to move ahead and do that. And then, above that, he takes on this huge Egyptian with a club. The Egyptian has a spear. He takes away this guy's spear and kills him with his own spear. You know, that's one bad dude. He was a great warrior. And because of that, David says, I want him on my team. I want him as my bodyguard. And I think David had a lot of wisdom there, saying, that's the dude I want protecting me. But I look at these exploits, all of them, and I think, wow. To me, it's pretty obvious that these people did not win these victories by themselves. They stood firm in the face of fear. They went ahead in faith and trusted God. And as they stood their ground, as they went forward in faith, God brought them the victory as they stood firm and as they acted in faith. I think this is so true for us spiritually, that as we stand firm in the face of fear, as we put on the full armor of God, as we take up the shield of faith, God will bring us the victory. Amen. God's called us all to be mighty warriors in the spiritual sense. Today we honor those that gave their life for our freedom and our liberty. That's what Memorial Day is all about. We honor those who have fought bravely for us. We honor those that are there are veterans now that have fought for us, and we honor those that are in our active duty and military forces currently. We thank them for that, the different branches of our military. They're all mighty warriors, and spiritually we're all in a battle. We have to understand that Satan wants to destroy our soul, our life, all that we have, our families. He has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But you know what? God hasn't left us helpless. He's given us the armor of God. He's given us the tools that we need so that we can stand firm, so that we can quench the fiery darts with the shield of faith and protect our heart with the breastplate of righteousness and to stand firm in the face of fear. With God's mighty power, we can overcome and gain the victory. Amen. I want us to close with a word of prayer. And so I'm going to encourage you to bow your head. And if you don't know Christ as your Lord and your Savior, that's where we want to begin. And today maybe is the day of salvation for yourself. And so would you just bow your head and say, God, forgive me of my sins. Lord God, thank you for the gift of salvation. Come in and be my Lord and my Savior. And be with me, Lord, each day in this journey of my spiritual walk. Lord God, I pray for each of us, Lord God, that we've placed our faith in Christ, but we've been in some battles, and maybe there's been some battles that we've left licking our wounds, so to speak, and we've maybe come out on the short end of the stick. And God, you have shown us in your word, Father, your promises are true, that you've given us the armor of God. And Father, let us each and every day realize that we are in a battle, and that we have to protect our heart and our soul, and that we have to get into your word. We have to pray, and we have to depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot fight this battle on our own, Lord God, but you are victor. You are victorious with us when we stand firm in the face of fear, and we fight for what is right. Lord God, you will go before us, and you will bring the victory. And Lord God, just as a final note, Lord God, we pray for our military people. We pray for those that have lost somebody in battle, Lord, that have been defending our country. We pray for those families that have been affected by that. Lord, we pray for those that are in active duty, Lord. This is a difficult thing at times, Lord, to go into harm's way. It's a sacrifice for them, but it also is a sacrifice for family, whether it's just time away or sometimes men and women come back and there's things in their own life that they have to work through because of what they've experienced on the battlefield, Lord God. It's not easy. There are sacrifices there, Lord God, and we pray that you would reach out to those people, Lord God, just be their strength and their protection, Lord. And Lord God, we just pray for this battle that we're in right now with this virus, Lord God. It's through you we're going to gain the victory, Lord. We just pray for our communities. We pray for our nation. We pray for our world. Have your hand upon your people, we pray. And we just give you the thanks. We give you the praise. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.
Friend of mine, the God of Israel.
Hey, thanks, Amy, for leading us in that closing song. I pray that God's blessing goes with you this week and have a blessed Memorial Day weekend with your friends and with your family. Be safe and God bless you. And we hope to see you next week, May 31st. We hope to be outside. That is the plan. So stay tuned and we'll be in touch with you. So God bless and have a blessed Memorial Day weekend.